Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you, and our regular co-hosts, the money healer, Stephanie J. Alvarez, and Dr. Nicole Kane. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. I wanted to invite you to drop in into this moment, into this now, another now. A lot of information. You know, it's so much beyond information. And so early on in my life, I had an experience. And so I had an experience where one night I was coming back. I was about 17 or 18, and I was studying. I was starting to get a sense there was this other quality of mind, something bigger than our regular mind. You know, like we have this kind of small mind, and it's kind of, you know, it helps us remember where our car keys are, and then it also kind of has a certain noise to it. But there's another quality. There's something else that allows us to gain access to creativity. It allows us to gain a deeper connection. And I was, this particular cycle of my life, I would go to this one town and I would play tennis, and I would go, there was a little restaurant there. I'd go to the restaurant. And I remember I was hitchhiking back. I was about 18, and this guy pulled a knife. Pretty much he picked me up and then he pulled a knife on me very quickly. And I remember sitting there in the recognition that he was fearful. I remember having this awareness, right? Because I've been noticing that people listen from different places in themselves. You know, I realized when I could notice their quality of their listening, I could respond differently. So here I am sitting in the car with him. We're going, you know, 55 miles an hour. And I'm kind of allowing this moment. I'm very conscious of what's there, but I'm not overreacting. I'm not really reacting. I'm just kind of noticing him and really actually listening to him. It sounds unusual, right? What I'm noticing is, and this is called open awareness. So I'm noticing my mind, right? And I'm noticing him. I'm noticing the feel. I get a sense of the knife. I get a sense of sitting. And I take an exhale. And he exhales. Or I can feel that something changes. So this is listening to listening. Something shifts. And we notice it. And with that noticing, he put the knife down, pulled over, and I got out. And I remember feeling my body, that sense of being alive, really appreciating it, like really appreciating it, just even taking a step. I took my next step, and it was like, you know, I had many more moments like that. Not at my point in a car, but just being able to listen to this listening that's there. And when I listen to listening, it's kind of like someone's saying something, or they're coming towards you, or they're wanting to bring you into the world. And by how you respond, how you listen, you invoke something different. So another example, I remember I was running a store one day. I was running a natural food store, and this guy that was working in the refrigerator system, he just started to cry. He was very upset. And I remember this. I was listening to him. And so here's the thing about listening. I want to play with you guys on. I want to get your calls today. 202-570-7057 if you want to call in. We'll talk about this vibrant listening, this vibrant conversation. 202-570-7057. So I walk towards the guy he's very upset. He's crying. He's in there. Now I'm going to give you the outer mind. The outer mind that we have is something like, well, he's a stranger, he's this, he's that, right? So how we live in tight awareness is we hard judge stuff, not even noticing it. You know, you get in a room, you have certain interpretations, you live from that until you become aware of it. So it's kind of like you're walking down the street. I'll give you another example, and you look at stuff, and that's very different. And the difference is that when you walk down a street and you see a leaf or you see a tree, you kind of let it reveal, it doesn't sound funny, but you let it kind of reveal itself to you. It's called soft seeing. So the soft seeing allows this other quality. So we talk about open awareness or listening differently. It's kind of like this other quality that we allow. So this guy's crying. He's very upset. And so first thing to do, I appreciate I'm appreciating the quality of this. Like, there's a quality. Before we put our judgment on something, before we kind of disrupt it, push it away, try to make it go away, motivate it away, this, you know, there was something there. And I asked him something. And I realized, oh, I know, I was going to give you one more little distinction here. So there's the content of how we listen to something, right? The problem. And a lot of people put a lot of energy in the problem. And this is like the context, kind of like if the problem was the sky, the cloud, let's say, I'm sorry, the cloud. And the context is kind of what's around the cloud. And when we listen from the context, it's this big listening, it's a different listening. And I could see like his breath had changed. And this is from doing nothing, by just kind of, in a sense, I'm allowing, I call this relational space. I was talking to Jennifer last night. She's with us on the call today, Ariel, my co-host. They part of the Vibrant Living team. So allowing is this wonderful thing that occurs. And what happened with him was I started to talk to him. And I remember this day very specifically because now in my mind, this was not the miraculous thing. According to the owner of the store, this is the miraculous thing. Well, he came up to me. And there was a quality called listening. It's a quality. It's kind of like, it's something that in my life is an example of, I notice something. Let's say I'm driving, right? I'm driving and I send something to my right. What I'll do is sometimes I notice something on a subtle level and then I invite that subtle level to speak differently. Like I'll say, like, turn that up. Let me sense that. And sometimes I go someplace and there's something there that it's revealing something. It's revealing itself in a different way. Now, with the refrigerator guy, I started talking about the vitamins. He bought a lot of vitamins that day. That was the point. The point was, it's really, we had this relational space where we kind of connected. And that's something that informs my work in a very deep way. Because a lot of times, that's the most valuable thing. Is to have to meet someone in this other place, and I've developed just for fun over the years a lot of different exercises, and or ways to encourage or reveal what's there, and this is, I've helped people write books, I've helped people with talks, and it's you know what it is, it's already there, and the way I express it in recent days is that recent times. is that we're so much better at living in 80% than 100%. And what a lot of people don't even realize is that they have a choice. So they're kind of buried in the clock when they get up and buried in the clock when they go to bed. And so part of this ability to listen to the listening is kind of like not being in that kind of level of over what you call closed awareness or focus. And what's kind of interesting is That's what happens when you go from like overworked or overstrained to like you become productive. Like that's kind of like, it's kind of like the quality of that. Imagine the quality where every day you have this lightness of walk and this soft eyes, right? So that you can meet people and there's a meeting of being. So when I first really got into coaching, I was kind of like wondering, like, where do I coach someone from? And I realized I coach from someone from a state of being, right? This uninterrupted place. And the thing is that we live in this conversation. It's an unspoken conversation of do, be, have. Do, that do something, to have something, to be something. We get drilled into us, to the point like, where most people have no idea what they are doing, but they know they have to do to have to be, right? So really that's survival. And that really is in their system. And imagine not just in your head, but imagine in your breath and your walk that you actually were in this place where you're being and doing and having. And it's kind of this other place. And how you notice that is that there's this other quality of ease. And what used to be kind of barriers now becomes an opportunity. So this gets back to listening to the listening. So I became a student of listening to the listening. And when the ambassador of Chile was up against a firing squad and they were going to kill him, he talked about this pause. And in the pause, they did not assassinate him. They didn't kill him. So he got very interested in this quality of listening. So this quality of listening is very different than the listening of the, or you could say that it's not even listening, it's kind of this imposed demand that our attention be in a certain way. Right? It's almost like people don't say anything, but you walk into certain cultures, certain environments, there's a demand that you need to conform to get along. So the response that most people have is they become more closed and more conformed. So what I started to notice was I kept asking myself, what's valuable? What's valuable? So I noticed when I would be speaking to people, it wasn't the content of their information that was valuable. It was something that was different than that. So I noticed when I listened to other things, we'll call it a state of being, they would say things to me they never said to anybody else. They would reveal things to me they never told anybody else. And I realized I liked that a heck of a lot more. Because I found the way that most people information is information robots to each other, and then putting degrees on top of that seemed incredibly unattractive. Now, I didn't really know, by the way. See, at first I thought that was a deficiency I had. Like, a deficiency was that I couldn't go in the classroom and be an information robot. It seemed dead to me. And it wasn't until John Gatto's passed away. I had the honor of meeting John Gatto. He was the teacher of the year in New York City. He wrote a book called Dumbing Us Down. And what happened was I read his book, I met John, I had several conversations with him, and I spent a weekend with him. And what I noticed was people ran to the room to be with John. And I thought, that's interesting. I don't remember ever running to a classroom. People would run. And what John did is he distinguished education. He knew every type of system of schooling and how it came into being. So he was able to reveal that the purpose of a lot of schooling is to condition us to conform more, to work a job. So somehow when I was sitting there, you know, and this is going to sound really funny, I pretty much had quadrupled my income by the end of the weekend, because what dissolved was the cloud or this imposed idea of that I had to do something a certain way by the hour to create this financial benefit or this financial dividend, and that most people around me were in fact dying for that cause, which is to survive, to make money, to survive another day. Now, when we're in something, it's kind of like being a goldfish. We don't notice we're in that tank. So as I pulled back from that, and the gift of it is, and this is where my relational focus is, it's a relational thing. So I always say to Jennifer, our model is beyond competition. We're beyond competing. There's no one to compete with. And it's not just an intellectual notion. It's the realization that if your competition is obsolete, you don't even care about them, then everything becomes distinct and different. So like the way that I like to listen to people is there's no time. And what happens is that when they feel that, and we're always transferring back and forth to the level of our systems to each other. Like 99% of what we're doing is nonverbal. I mean, it gets to the point sometimes when people, when your system is such, people get a sense they could express and be anything around you. I had one of the most beautiful moments yesterday. I'm going to share it, Jennifer, if that's okay with you. because you were kind of involved. I hope it's okay. We were doing a recording for you. What's that?
I said, I hope so. Did I swear you to secrecy?
Yes.
And you keep calling me Jennifer.
No, but I'm just doing this impromptu. I'm just doing it because it touched me. It touched me.
I'm messing with you.
It touched me in a really deep way. So this is part of this is Jennifer's contribution, is I like actually personalizing and finding, if you will, remedies or strategies for people that are usually very either distinct or different in their thinking. And so I was putting this audio together with Jennifer for Kimchi on Vibrant Medicine. And I was really just kind of dropping into this notion of like, wow, imagine creating a whole definition, distinction about what vibrant medicine is and how it's different. Like, what makes it really different? How would you know you're in a place that was practicing this? And I'd met a medicine man, and we did a series on how sacred medicine could save modern man. And I was just, you know, it was like coming towards the end. And I spontaneously said to Kimchi, I said, you know, words can only do justice to this so much. But I think Jennifer singing a song would do this much more justice. And Jennifer sang "You Are My Sunshine," and I was like, it just melted me down because you sang it, and you just sang it, and it was just so beautiful, and it's unexplainable to me. But that was like the highlight of my day yesterday.
Oh,
so,
that's sweet.
Yeah, no, well, it was the highlight of my day. So because what I think I said right before you sang was. Right before you sang, and we'll come back. We'll continue the conversation with Ariel and myself and Jennifer and you here on the Vibrant Living Network on Om Times Radio in a moment.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I know you're kind of wondering, like, why am I playing disco music on my show? I don't know. It's a deep question. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Radio Network, Vibrant Network. I'm not dancing. I'm sitting wondering why the music's playing. And here we are with Ariel, whose last name I'm still learning. Baghdatis. No, it's not Baghdatis. That's a tennis player. See that? You have a similar in my brain, right? I was sitting with this woman. She was a superintendent of schools in Vermont, and I sat with her, and I was at a restaurant called Paul Elizabeth's, Northampton, and I discovered with her, I think it's that day, I started to realize I was smart, but I didn't, because I pretty much felt, and this is interesting, it kind of happens by osmosis. We get into other people's definitions and their assumptions and conclusions. So assumptions and conclusions are poisons, right? Because they cut off relationships. And I was sitting with her, and she said a few things to me, and it sort of shifted the whole quality of how I listened and how I listened to myself and others. And I think later that month, this guy asked about how I work with speakers. And I came up with a new model, like right in that moment with him. I said, well, I said, you could pay me $300 and I'll come listen to you. And he did. And I thought, oh, my God, it's so easy. I never learned that it could ever be easy, right? Because it was always so much fear. Ariel, you are back from a dental extraction and in New York.
Oh, yeah.
New York, New Jersey, producer of Vibrant Living Media and also Vibrant Speakers, which is a significant part of Unscripted Power. And I came up with Unscripted Power because we need to go beyond our script. Did you know that we need to go beyond it? I didn't realize I had a script, but then I realized, oh, I'm living the script. And one day I started to realize I was living in a certain culture that wasn't really, I didn't even know it wasn't me, but I would have flashes of being able to express very differently. And this always came relationally. What's on the top of your, share something. How are you today, Ariel? Tell people something about you, what you want them to listen to.
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just as a side point, I was dancing during the break because the music is just that awesome.
Good.
In between the break. But I really want to. It's very interesting what you mentioned about before, Glenn, because with the concept of, you know, when seeing people and seeing how they really are, engaging in a relation, in a relational context with somebody, seeing how they are on the outside and the inside. In homeopathy, as everyone knows here, I work as a homeopath, and one of the first principles and rules laid down in the Organon, which is essentially kind of like the Bible of homeopathy, so to speak, is that
tell people what homeopathy is. Tell people what homeopathy is. A lot of people may not know what it is.
And it's just in a one-line nutshell, it's a holistic system of natural medicine that aims to heal people as a whole instead of just focusing on individual disease or symptoms. We treat the dis-ease of a person versus the disease. That's basically the gist of it. So in homeopathy, like I've said like many times before in the show, in practice we kind of take in what a person is telling us in regards to their lifestyle, their life, their current and past issues and situations, history, eat, food, diet, sleep, everything A to Z, basically. And at the core of it, we look for patterns in their pathology that lead to the core of what's really asking to be healed, that's leading to all these symptoms and issues and challenges and obstacles that they're dealing with. And many times people, when I sit with a client, like, for example, when I sit with a client, they'll discuss certain things, things about their life, the people they're around, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those important things when you're a practitioner or a homeopath in this type of setting is to be the unprejudiced observer, which means, when you're taking in all this information from somebody, it's not to be judgmental, not to let your, emotions, trigger or influence, your objectiveness in helping this person to heal. It's looking at this person objectively, viewing from their shoes and their lens, what they're going through. That's basically how you're able to better help a person, in all these different ways and to help them heal properly in the right level. It's not just a principle of homeopathy, it's a principle in everyday life as well.
Mm.
There are many times we meet people and we see them on the outside, in public and, they act one way or they behave or they think in one way, but, they could be totally different, the opposite end. There's so many situations like this, both in my practice and, in life in general. You can meet people who, they're on the outside very kind, generous, sweet, caring, enjoyable people to be around, but, in private, behind the doors, you don't really know how they're like. For all we know, they could be the total opposite, or vice versa too. they cannot seem so, not so courteous or not so positive. I should say more on that, on the outside, true self and their true souls, I guess you can say, their true essence is really more positive and more beautiful and vibrant than it really is. And in essence, really everyone has like that vibrancy and that beauty and like their being and their essence of who they are and where they, and what they really want to be and who they want to be. But, you know, life, again, life throws things at us. You know, there are things we deal with every day. And you know, all these factors, in our, whether they're in our control or out of our control, you know, unfortunately, they, you know, they throw us up in being who we really want to be. And, you know, it's just something I see all the time. That's something I work with. And it's exactly more or less what I work with my friends.
Your voice, I don't know why. I want everybody listening to the Vibrant Living Network, And if you're interested in being a host and getting a kind of a one-of-a-kind education and really want to bring your vibrant message forward and do it in an environment where you can meet some of the most, inspired people in your field and go to another level, I'd love to speak to you. And if you're just moved by any of the things that are happening on the program, you want to reach out, you can reach out to me, Glenn, here at 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. Vibrant Living Connections. We have this thing called the Vibrant Living Challenge, which I'll be talking a little bit more as we come into the new year, which is, in a nutshell, based on the idea that when we cover each other's back and we actually share a relational vision, a vision as a group, that the whole level raises and you will, you know, something will shift in a major way in terms of your sense of possibility, your sense of expression. And we see how that kind of transfers. So a lot of times people want to write a book or give a talk. I've had many people just do the Vibrant Living Challenge because the conversation is just so rich and juicy because, like, I'm making a film now. I haven't done a film before, and I'm building a team of people around the film. And it's such a wonderful stretch. The idea of listening is people listen differently. I walk into a store right now and say I'm making a movie. 9 out of 10 people are going to listen in a very different way. It's like going into an announcement, you can give $1,000 to give someone. It really, when you start to get a sense that this, the way we are and our physicality and how we express really could shift things, it's a powerful thing. It's very play. I'm an improv artist, and I love during the day to play and engage people. And I was saying before the break about our message, our tape message to Kimchi, will be with us again on December 21st. We're going to talk this on the December 21st, just because it's in my awareness right here. We're going to talk about what is vibrant medicine, what is happiness. So Kimchi's been traveling to a country, and we're going to talk about this on the 21st, where instead of the gross national product being money or I guess financial revenue, it's really happiness. So how does that impact the people? How does it impact the quality of life? You know, as an example, in Finland, we're on the topic here, they have business minis in the sauna. And so it actually lowers people's cortisol, and it really gives people a very different experience of this process we call life. And so that's kind of what, you know, I guess you could say one of the most interesting meetings I had at one point in my life is I met this, he's a psychiatrist. My son used to call him a crazy psychiatrist, but he's just a very unusual thinker. And I was with him one day, and he used to call me Boober for this Hasidic mystic named Martin Buber. And he says, Boober, he goes, you're here because you connect and conduct connections with people like I've never seen. He goes, that's why you're here. You're an alchemy connector. So what you do is you sense the elements in people and the wonder in people, and you bring them together in a way where there's another whole level of diamonds. And he said that to me. And now I want to give you an example of something, because I think you guys will relate to this. I was putting a show together, health show, a vibrant living event in Vermont. And I want to say the weekend had to be like 30 below zero. It was a very brutally cold day. And attendance was low. You know, we had 150 people, would have like 600, right? It happens. So there was a woman that came, and I remember her. It's funny. I remember her sort of, right? It wasn't strong. I recall her being there. And the lecture that day was Wayne London was talking about, at the time, hard contact lenses, the relationship between breast cancer, depression, immunity. So it was a whole thing about light. And that's how I actually met Wayne London. I met him because he was studying the impact of light, because I knew I knew light was one of the most profound things in my life. I knew I was a different person. In fact, light flips on and off hormones. It impacts genes. So we often think about being at the effect of things. You know, we often, you know, don't realize how the little things, like, you know, in the Vibrant Living Challenge, one of the things we do is we take an abundance inventory. Like, what are the things, environments, people you feel more alive around? And this kind of really blows people's minds. Because we actually do a thing around the breath. We talk about the relational breath, the vision breath. And when people get in sync with this stuff together, it is a different world on so many levels. So anyway, we're at the event in Vermont. It's 30 below zero, and Wayne's giving this talk. And there's a woman in the back room taking all kinds of notes. And so Wayne says to me, he says, you know, Boober, he goes, this event was significant. He goes, think of this as a total success. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess at a bigger level it is. Now, I want to say within a year of that event, that woman that was sitting there wrote a book on depression and manic depression at the time that reached over 200,000, a lot of people, around 200,000 people. And she says, oh, I learned some of this stuff at this little event in Vermont. So part of what it is, when we go past our linear thinking, we've made linear thinking a god, like this calculated linear thinking. But if we understand there's this vertical, a vertical leap is going past the way we chronically saw something in the horizontal. See, there's a quality of thinking and awareness. Horizontal is very different than vertical. So a vertical leap is when you come out of your horizontal, and it's kind of like you step into this other world, and you know what? When you do that with someone else, you dissolve the habitual response. So the question is, what's a habitual? The habitual response is usually in the realm of division, divorce, and disconnection. So imagine, and I always say to people, it's not that you've tried or try to figure something out. It's actually you develop skills. So if you develop a new skill, you could actually implement not just a vertical leap for yourself, but those around you. So what happened at that little course we gave in Vermont was that woman had a vertical leap. She saw her connection. She wrote this book. And so that's why, so if we look at something from our local mind and our linear mind, we miss like 98% of what's there. And when we take this different leap, because everyone pretty much does what they do in reaction because they don't see beyond that. So here's the thing. No one, you know, it's not like I blame anybody for doing a whole bunch of things, because oftentimes, when we're in pain and we're in our linear mind, there's a different quality of the way we think and what we say. So the conversation of the linear mind or the local mind is, I did everything I could do. There's a feeling of this too. Usually it's kind of heavy. I'm trying to figure it out. See, it's still at that level. And what happens is, I'm going to relate this to relationship. So breakups and what I call relational tsunamis occur out of this quality of mind called local mind, linear mind, and of course survival. And so when a person's there, you got to just kind of appreciate they're in the bottom, they're in the basement, let's say, and all you can do is kind of wait for them to get up a few flights, and so the idea is allowing them to be where they are. You know, kind of gives them the sense that they could potentially gain a new perspective. So as I'm speaking to you, I'm not just speaking in my words. There's a feeling in between my words that I'm pointing. I'm kind of inspiring towards you. And so I'm kind of saying, like, there's this other place. And so, you know, if you had a little book right now called The Vibrant Vision Book, as we all have during the Vibrant Living Challenge, I would encourage you to, like, be open to receiving a new idea. And also, this one idea that I shared earlier, that being at 80% is a different world beyond 100%, right? It's kind of like that whole thing. I mean, it's funny. Someone used this language of me yesterday. The whole idea that when you get pulled over or something in life, they say, sit tight. It's fascinating. Any animal, any creature that moves and breathes knows you don't sit tight. It's the worst thing you could do. It puts you into a sympathetic nervous system, puts you into emergency. And yet our culture, and most of the cultures that have become domesticated, they live a non-breath language in life and non-respiration. So most people around you probably have some form of hyperventilation. The thing is that most doctors don't have a clue how to diagnose it. It's rare. So what we're speaking about here is living our lives in vital rhythmic pulsation. And we live our lives in vital rhythmic pulsation. And what that means is, go ahead, Stephanie. Oh, I call you Stephanie during the daylight hours. Jennifer at night. Back to Stephanie. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Right. There's you were talking about the diagnosis, and I find that interesting because I was actually just listening to a video that Dr. Chopra did, and he was talking about the nocebo effect versus the placebo, and that a nocebo is the opposite of a placebo. And, you know, it was talking about how doctors will give us a nocebo, which is basically a detrimental effect on our health, right? So in other words, when a doctor tells you and they are giving you a prognosis, well, since you have cancer, you have 2 years to live. And so what he said was listen to the diagnosis but not the prognosis, which is the likely outcome or the story that's based on statistics, but that's not your future. And he says to believe the diagnosis but not the prognosis, because the prognosis is really a belief, and the belief is what determines the outcome. And so the question becomes, who would I be without any belief or story? Going beyond all stories, beliefs, constructs, all philosophical, theological, religious, mythological. And when you go beyond that, then you're just being, you're pure awareness and pure infinite creativity and infinite possibility. And then from there, you can tell the story that you want to experience and the story of the collective. So as a collective, you know, you may say something that my story is that we would have a more peaceful, joyful, healthier, happier, sustainable universe. And the universe is really a human construct. So he was saying that it's up to us to create the universe that we want to be free from.
This is beautiful. We're gonna pick up on that. I want to pick up on this idea of our story. And I want to share with you a story that happened that I think will touch you and stretch your mind and move your soul. Stay with us, Vibrant Living Network.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Wow. Well, welcome to Vibrant Living Network, Vibrant Living Network. And I'm so happy I'm more than this thing called me, that it's really, it's the brilliance of Ariel and Stephanie and all our team members. Regulat, you were just saying Regulat, which is an uncommon word, but you did say it. Regulat is our underwriter. I'll just say a word, and then you could give out the, and you could say a word too. It's our, and one of our main underwriters, and Regulat is a food-based supplement that's beyond the probiotic. It has probiotic qualities. It has qualities that actually restore, replenish. In the old days, they call these elixirs, and we've given this the Integrity and Real Food Supplement Award. It's quite a remarkable product. We're going to give out their website. So if you want to rebuild and you know, it's food-based. And what's happened in the natural food industry is there's a lot of what they call standardized products. As an example, they take out the key nutrients of ginger, when really it's the whole synergy, it's the whole food of ginger that matters. So philosophically, we respect a lot what they're doing in terms of building, having this one-of-a-kind food supplement. What's the website, Jennifer? Oh, I call you Jennifer in the evening. I forgot. Stephanie, I was unprofessional for a moment.
The website is Regulat, and it's spelled regulat-usa.com. Regulat-usa.com. And I do want to say something, Glenn, just in sort of knowing you and having this relationship with you and very close, I would say in some aspects you're a bit of a snob when it comes mm-hmm. to anything that you will sort of put your name or stamp of approval on.
Of course, I was edited off the air immediately, Ariel, so don't be concerned. I don't want you up all night being concerned. There's no way that went across the air, so yeah, it's fine. She's going to say she's joking in a minute anyway, so please continue.
No, it's a good thing because you will not sort of put your stamp of approval on anything, and because you have this breadth of knowledge and you've been doing this work since you were a teenager, so a really long time. And what Kimchi was talking about last time with the testing that she does with the resonance and on this product with Regulat, mm-hmm. you know, she said it was like the highest integrity. And mm-hmm. I love that. Having them as an underwriter, and when we had the conversation with Joel Harper and he talked about how he has his clients use it, and for those that don't know, Joel wrote a book called Mind Your Body, and he's actually the personal trainer for Dr. Oz, and he's been featured on.
And he'll be with us again, by the way. He's coming back on.
Yes, he will. And so I'm looking forward to the conversation because last time Kimchi didn't really get an opportunity to get too much into Regulat and the testing that she's done, but she did let us know that it is it tested like really high in the testing that she did. And she was talking about the integrity of the product. And I appreciate that because there's so many things that are out there in the market, and we were talking with the food decoder, and we talked about how there's just a lot of advertising and there's buzzwords that companies will use to sort of cover up what the product really is. So having something that's a whole food dietary supplement like Regulat, I think, is an amazing thing and all of the different benefits. So I would just encourage people to take a look at the website.
Your article, The Positive Power of Being a Snob, which is coming out in a week, needs to be read by people. But that was I love that. Well, you know, I didn't consider myself a snob, but now I see that I am, and I appreciate you saying it. Yeah, I've had so many companies through the years want to get on, and I wouldn't sleep good at night recommending a lot of companies. So I want to tell you something. To just say that it's true. I only take on companies that I really feel are the real deal. And I run them by the people that I care and I love. And we have the practitioners we have around us are really world-class. And all right, I'm going to tell a story. And if you want to be part of the Vibrant Living Network, and whether you want to write a book or you want to be a speaker, we have a Vibrant Speakers Program. So the next example I'm going to give you, I work with a certain percentage of people on donation. And so every month, this particular month, this woman was in touch with me, and she told me she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Oh, dang, okay, I got to remind myself. I was at a Protect Your Breast conference in May, and I just met the founder, and I just reminded myself that I want to write her a note. All right, so I got a letter, I think it was, from a woman. And you guys are going to find this really interesting, I promise. And I want you to think about your story and the story of how other people's story is impacting you. Okay. So she writes me and says, I want to meet you, Glenn, because I want to do one of your resources. I do these sessions on, like, resource, how to find resources just that you don't even consider. And anyway, we're going to meet at Starbucks, and then I'm going to go to this beautiful office with her about 2 blocks from town. And so I go to meet her, and what's really funny about this is, you know, she told me she had been receiving radioactive treatment, and so I knew that based on the conversation, and her voice was pretty low when I talked to her. Now, when I went to Starbucks, she was so radiantly healthy when I saw her. I saw her there, and it was like, I almost laughed because she, you know, if you think in your mind a picture of someone who has this kind of a, you know, this diagnosis or this kind of identification. So we got back, and we're sitting in this beautiful studio, and I dropped into the relational listening. I'm using a little of my special language here. I just kind of dropped into this listening with her, and at a certain point I said, just tell me the story, tell me. And she started to tell me that her mother and her sister, they wouldn't really let her not get this radioactive treatment. And I said, say more. And she said, well, every time, and by the way, I always stop people and I say, well, say more. Like she'll say, well, every time we go to the hospital, I'll say, well, what was it like? What's it like you're in the car with them? And I said, just tell me the imagery. And the imagery is, she says, look, I'm going to the cemetery. And I said, drop your breath, just take an exhale. And she says, yeah, I'm going to the cemetery, and every time I get the radiation, it's like it's putting me closer to the grave, into the grave. And she goes, but I'm terrified to say anything to my mother or sister. And I know they love me, but I've conformed to this treatment. And so we let that story live, right? That's one story she has, right? And so I said to her, I said, well, okay, I said, right now, I said, take 3 exhales, and I go, and let's come into the vertical. Like right now, take 3 exhales, and I want you to see yourself, sense yourself. You're going from the horizontal into the vertical. And she sat up, and then we had this one. We exhaled together, and I said, what's the other story? And she goes, oh, the other story is, I'm one with this tree. I see this tree. It's rooted in the ground. And she goes, I'm part of the tree. And the nutrients come up from the ground. And my branches, they open. And I feel the wind. And I feel the sky. And I feel this pulsation through my body. And the things that aren't supposed to be there, that aren't part of the tree-ness, if you will, they leave. And it's like, now I see myself. And I'm walking from the graveyard. And there's flowers to my left. And I see another path. And I see people that I love on this path, and I see behind me excess, something that I don't need. And I should stand up and move right now with me. And we start to move, we walk around the room, I do this regular with people, we start to move, and I go, what do you see now? I go, what is your breath like now? She goes, oh. She goes, I'm actually breathing something and seeing something. And I go, say more. So before she leaves, we get it. Always have people have a book, and I have them write. And I say, I want you to write the next 3 or 4 days and tell me what you see and feel. And so she contacts, in a few days she writes me, and she says, oh, this tree thing's opening. 3 weeks later, and I say, oh, by the way, I always say to people, I cannot give you medical advice. I can refer you to medical people that I work with. I used to refer people to Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez in New York City, genius, oncologist, nutritionist. Met him through a model who told me that, you know, she was so rigid about being a vegan. So what do you think? She goes there. She's really, I won't be able to say who this is, but she told me that she was, had little life left in her. And, of course, Nick puts her on raw meat, really high grade. She calls me up. She goes, well, I've never felt healthier. She goes, I never felt like a phony. She couldn't believe she'd been preaching being a vegan, and the raw meat is saving her life. And this is pasteurized organic raw meat. Anyway, to bring you back to the woman I met at Starbucks, the tree lady, my beautiful tree lady. She wrote me in 3 months. She says, Glenn, she goes, now at my most recent exam, they're not finding the cancerous growth. You know, life is different. I've learned to relate to my mother and sister in a new way. I'm not getting radiation. And I just want to let you know that it was such a wonderful thing meeting you. And you see, really being a coach, the kind of coach I am. It's really about this unfoldment and process that happens relationally when we see something new, and that newness and that new vision gives us the sense of new life. And she, you know, so on one level we have the horizontal, right? This is, you know, the horizontal. On the other levels we have this vertical, this rise that's kind of coming from the earth. It's kind of coming from this pulsation. And so a lot of times, you know, people, this is why I teach a seminar on going past goal setting. See, what happens is a lot of times your goal setting is because you're fearful and you need a goal to get out of the fear. But it's not your vision, right? It's not your vision. It's certainly not the group vision. So we're here to become more alive and wake up our brain, wake up the soul, right, get into the body, the embodied speaker. You know, so the thing is, you have things like Toastmasters. They teach you techniques. But the thing is, when you get past the techniques, where's that pulsation? Where's that, there's that vital rhythmic pulsation. If you want to be part of our team and you're curious about my coaching, or you want to do a session with me, I do some of my sessions on donation. I also help people become coaches, but not just coaches that are doer-bossed, if you will, but coaches that help touch people. I'm at 413 Touch People, and also help develop the path of action, because once you get a sense of being able to be in the yield, you can see where the action becomes, right? There's a yield and a pause, and that from that place we spring. From that place, we're like we can move in any position. But if we're always straining, it's like there's no place to live from this vital rhythmic pulsation. I'm at 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Radio Network, which is expanding. We're going to go to 10 hours. We're going to touch you guys, because this is the way of life. And the way of life is asking you questions and being curious. And I'm so grateful to you, Stephanie and Ariel. I could not do this on my own. I'm so glad we need each other, and that the self-improvement is wrong when it tells you can be independent and happy. I wasn't supposed to say that, but I did. You said snob, and that was great. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I like that. Yeah, that was so cool when you did that.
Sweetest
I was
snob we've ever met.
Yeah, you don't try to say that. Oh, my God, she's mad at me from 3 days ago. She's going to take me down live on the air today, and I got to hang back. And what am I going to do? I was enjoying that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
None of my teachers are as kind as you, by the way.
High standards.
What's that?
Very high standards.
I said high standards. It's a
high standard. You know, high standards are. High standards are really. Boy, this is interesting. Boy, I want to say you hit on such an interesting topic. Yeah, I met this one guy, a guy named Robert Ponte. Robert Ponte.
You have to make it quick. You only got 4 minutes.
Oh, my God. Well, Rob, I'll give you the message of Robert Ponte. Get clothes that you love and that have fibers of your aura. His whole thing was that people invest in junk and they kind of don't really treasure them. They don't dress like a diamond. Dress like a diamond. Realize your presence touches people. There's relational presence, which matters. I'm going to just go back to you guys. Ariel, I'm going to let you and Stephanie, before 7 p.m., she's Stephanie, and I dig her as Stephanie, and then she turns into Jennifer, which is another whole thing that I deal with, it, and I'm blessed by it. So go ahead, Ariel, take a minute. Touch the audience.
Touch the audience. I think.
My son was saying influence the audience. I told my son he touches people. He goes, Dad, he goes, I don't do that. He goes, I influence them. He's very mad at me. All right, so influence them.
I think my message today, like what I said earlier, which totally connects us. I think what we're talking about right now is that, when we really try to touch people, like what Glenn is saying, also this is the whole concept of Vibrant Living Network and what we do, what
yes.
we plan to do in the future as well, is that our goal in this existence is to touch people and to influence others and to better the people in the world and everyone around us as much as possible, and to do it in a way that's objective and unprejudiced and relational, to the sense that it really touches people's hearts in a variety of ways. And I think what, you know, Glenn, to back to Stephanie's, praise of you, I think what you're doing here and the opportunities you offer as being a vibrant host and just in general, I think that really, really touches everyone. That really brings out the goal as well. I really want to thank you again for giving all this opportunity to be here and the opportunity for everyone to really, you know, to be able to experience this in like a beautiful and you know, exciting way.
Thank you, Ariel. Having you as a tribe family member has shifted everything. Thank you. Stephanie, I'm going to let you take this show right to the top of the hour. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephanie Alvarez.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Gotta give it a healer.
In the building. You know, I just want to close it out, Glenn, by saying, and I'm going to take your quote that I now have on my Bumble profile. I make a better we than me. Or, yes, better we than me. That's what it's all about.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Vibrant Living Radio, Vibrant Living Network, your life's precious, and join us 413-345-3747 if we're speaking and touching and influencing you. Call us, 413-345-3747. If you want to make a difference, you want to be on a one-of-a-kind tribe and own the platform, touch the souls, reach out to us. Enjoy your day. Thank you.